Lots, as I say, to talk about on the programme today, but I want to give a few minutes at the start of today's programme to talk about the proposed increases in personal injury awards, which are imminent, we believe. David O'Malley, partner with Callan Tansey Solicitors, joins us from their offices in Ballina this morning. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Tommy.
Have you been out on the roads, or are you in the comforts of your little home?
I'm at my home at the moment, Tommy. I haven't ventured out yet.
Okay.
I was out running last night. It was fairly slippy, though, isn't it?
It was slippy.
Be careful out there.
Yeah. Now, the Judicial Council are due to meet imminently to talk about these proposed increases in personal injury awards. And most people will scratch their heads, David, because, you know, we were saying to ourselves that already as a nation we have a sue culture going on, and we were told by the judiciary that they were going to decrease personal injury awards, and now we seem to be hearing that the opposite is applying.
Well, actually, Tommy, I think it's to do with inflation, because if you look over the last, since the personal injury guidelines came in 2021, awards have gone down over 40%, Tommy, which is, it's a fairly significant drop. So for argument's sake, the loss of a tooth might be 15 down to 10. Whiplash, which was too high in my opinion, is gone from, say, 15 down to about 5. If you have a very significant back injury, it's gone from 100 down to 60, Tommy. So what they're seeing is, in the last 3 years, as you know, inflation has gone mad. So they're saying that you need to uplift them by about 12 to 14%, maybe, potentially. Even up to 16, they're saying, to get the cost of living back. Because you only compensate people by money, Tommy, because pain and suffering and function is what you're trying to sort out. So that's all you can give them is money. So I think overall, it's to be welcomed that there is an uplift, given that insurance has gone crazy, Tommy. And as I said, if you look at the corollary, I know there's this compo culture myth around there, but insurance has gone up by nearly 20% motor insurance in the last 3 years. And their most profitable every year, 3 years, has been since the guidelines came down. The reason we have insurance is to indemnify risk against injury. But the fact that the injuries have gone down 40% and insurance has gone up 20%, I think the judiciary are beginning to try to redress the inequality of that, despite the compo culture and propaganda being propagated by the insurance company.
Yeah, I think there is a system, isn't there, David, in place where specific injuries are graded as to what amounts of money will be given. For example, if you get whiplash as opposed to a broken neck, or as opposed to multiple injuries. Is that the case?
Yeah, well, just for argument's sake, Tommy, just to ask yourself there, which would you feel would be more valuable to, you know, which is a more compensatable injury, to really hurt your wrist or to lose a kidney? Which one would you think?
Well, sorry, so the question is, which is more serious, is it?
Which would attract more compensation?
Well, I imagine losing the kidney would.
No, it actually isn't, because it's to do with pain and suffering, Tommy, and function. So when you lose a kidney, you won't feel it after losing it, and you won't actually have to use function, apart from your circulation, whereas your wrist is very important with function and pain and suffering. So if you badly hurt your wrist, it'll be for the rest of your life. So that just kind of shows you how complex it is to value. You know, even your fingers, Tommy, which one would you think was the most valuable?
Probably, I don't know, maybe my thumb.
No, actually, it'd be your index.
Index,
your pointer,
okay.
Finger, Tommy.
I was going to say maybe index, but then, yeah.
Yeah, just to do with function. And your little finger isn't worth very much at all, Tommy. It's only worth 15,000 if you were to lose it. You know what I mean? So another example, to lose a testicle would be 25,000. But if you used loss of fertility, could be well over 100,000, Tommy. So that just shows you function is the most important part when it comes to injuries. So it's kind of very hard to value. But in fairness to the guidelines, they do go into everything. So it's open for everyone to have a look at the guidelines. But when, you know, if you look at that, like in my view, you know, the loss of a part of your body for 25 to 30,000 now is quite low, you know. So I welcome the increases, as the man would say.
Okay, well, what happens, say, in cases, God forbid, that you or I were involved in an accident this morning where we lose a little finger, or we break some ribs? Do you get multiple compensation as a result of multiple injuries?
No, because if you think about it in terms of pain and suffering, Tommy, there might be an overlap, you know. So, you know, if you're in a car crash, there was a case there this year called the QOV Byrne case, and Justice Coffey, who's a very good judge, kind of analysed all this, Tommy. So what you do is you get the dominant injury, which in this in that case was an injury to the forearm, which was worth 55,000, and then it was badly broken and damaged, and then the injury to the wrist, you know, as I said, it can be very bad. The wrist was 40,000+, and there was a lot of bruising and different things, which was another 3,000. So the combined was 100. So the judge applied a discount of 15% then, because there's an overlap in pain. You know, there might be between your wrist and your hand. So you have to kind of look at the pain and the function, and then you take away the percentages. Now, the insurance companies were trying to put that at 40%, Tommy. That's why there was a lot of claims settling for a lot less. So that's why I think they're looking to revisit these, because judges are being a lot more sensible, Tommy. It's, you think about your, you know, being in pain for the rest of your life. It isn't massive money. You know, you hear about Americans, millions. That's because there's punitive damages in America, Tommy, but in Ireland you have to put up with the rest of your life. You know, it's when you hear all these big massive cases that I do myself, the cerebral palsies, it's to do with care and being minded. It's not to do with the actual pain and suffering and function, which is quite reasonable in Ireland compared to other jurisdictions, including the North. So I'm just trying to propagate maybe the myths that are out there that people are on this compo culture, when in fact they're not, Tommy.
Is there a cap on the amount of money that you can get as a result of either a personal injury or personal injuries?
Yeah, there's a cap, Tommy, of approximately 500,000. It used to be, back in the 80s, it was 350,000, Tommy. So can you imagine in 40 years it hasn't gone up that much? 550 is the absolute maximum you can get at the moment. But the actual guidelines, the uplift now is going to propose 620,000. But if you think, if you're lying there from a child in pain and suffering for the rest of your life, barely able to even blink, you know, I don't think that's, you know what I mean? It's not even enough at that. You know, for argument's sake, Tommy, I come across terrible fatal cases where the government have put a cap of 35,000 on them. And, you know, going to court and the stress of all that for a loved one, and that's all it is. So I call on fatal injuries to be well over 100,000 if they could, you know, but it's just, it's been 10 years since they reviewed that. So I welcome the fact they're reviewing with the cost of living, Tommy, because things, as you know, if you go to the Tesco now for €100, how much would you buy compared to 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, so it has to do these people for the pain and suffering that they've endured, which we're paying on multiples of insurance for, because it's supernatural profits in the insurance industry at the moment. And I've called on insurance heads, as you know, Tommy, to debate this with me, and I welcome any of the insurance heads to debate it, because the figures don't match up what they're saying at all.
Just clarify for me, are you saying, David, that if somebody, God forbid, is killed in a car accident, the fee that will be payable is 55,000?
No, 35,000.
35,000.
That's in, Tommy.
Okay.
That's very low. When you
yeah,
think
well, I mean,
it,
when you
know.
Consider, you get 15 grand if you lose a little finger.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that to show how harsh it is? It's slatsing, which comes from the Latin for tear money. It's to do with just because public policy, a lot of people die in the roads in that, Tommy, that they don't want too much to be paid out. But that's, to me, that's the biggest bugbear for me as a lawyer, how little that is. It used to be only 25,000, Tommy, up to 2014. So I think it's very insulting to people who lose loved ones that that's all they can get.
Okay.
Unless there's a nervous shock, psychiatric damage injury part of it, Tommy. But as you know, the psychiatric damages are very hard to prove now, because you have to show severe psychiatric injury to attract awards.
Where does this money come from to pay all of these people? Is it coming out of central funds, or is it ring-fenced through what we pay in our insurance?
It depends on the type of injury, Tommy. In the medical negligence cases against public hospital would be to do with state claims agency. They would have a fund. And unfortunately, it is a big burden on the state because how badly run the hospitals are. The road traffic ones would be to do with private insurers coming into the country. So they're making supernatural profits, Tommy. So Ireland, for all the talk, is not very litigious. We have the lowest work accident in the entire EU. We also, compared to America, we're about 3 or 4 times less litigious than America. America, I think 82% of companies have claims against them. In Ireland, it's about 40-something%, you know, in the whole lifetime of a company, you know. So that just shows you we're not as litigious as people are saying, and I welcome open debate with it. And Minister Derek Cleary brought in a good bit of legislation from PIAB, Tommy, as well, which has made claims a lot faster and reduced awards, but also reduced legal costs, which I welcome as well, because in fairness, anything, you know, it's not like a golden goose. We have to make sure everything is efficient in every profession.
But can we take it, David, that some of the money that we pay as taxpayers is used to pay out for personal injury claims.
It is, yeah. As I said, but that's the nature of society, Tommy.
Okay, but are,
I know
are
in
the,
France
the
they have a very laissez-faire attitude.
Are the insurance industry putting anything into a fund?
The insurance industry, depending on the type of injury, there's a motor insurance bureau for non-insured drivers as well, Tommy, that the insurance industry do pay into. But I remember the Latin saying, qui ipsos descud studios, who guards insurance industries? It's very cosy at the moment, in my opinion. And how can insurance go up 11% last year in motor insurance, yet claims are down 40%? And that the whole reason you get insured is to pay out for potential claims. So it's kind of, unless there's an awful lot of material damage going on, I don't see how anyone can stand over that. And nobody's regulating them. You know, as I said, solicitors are well regulated. In fairness, it's a profession that's very well reviled, in fairness, and maybe rightly so for years. But the most regulated profession, I call on the insurance industry to be regulated, Tommy.
Good luck with that.
Why should people be exploited? Consumers are being exploited, and injured people now are at the risk of being undercompensated, Tommy, because inflation is, you know, and thankfully they are looking at this again. But what is the sole reason we pay insurance, Tommy? So I think people need to get a bit angrier about it. When you're getting an insurance renewal quote, ask your insurer, why is it gone up 11% when claims have gone down 40%?
Well, I know a lot of people are calling for the government to introduce an insurance company that is state-led, you know, to offer all of us the opportunity of supporting an insurance company that's actually run by the government. But that looks like
it's... You'd be hopeful that will work, you know, but as I said, I've seen with the HSE and different things that, you know, there's a lot of waste as well from state, you know, companies as well. So in theory, Tommy, that should be more lucrative, or not lucrative, it's so lucrative now, that should be a lot more efficient, that there'd be no supernatural profits. So I think maybe that could be a good idea.
So if you were to advise the Judicial Council yourself, because they are proposing to meet up to increase awards this month, what would you say to them?
I would just say stick to the inflation, Tommy. You know, as I said, they were too high in certain instances and they're too low in other instances. So I think focus on, I would be saying, bring up the fatal injuries one if they can. I know that will take legislative change, but also I would say for the more severe injuries, Tommy, I think they should increase them a lot because, you know, they're quite low, they're very severe. But maybe on the more minor side, maybe they don't need to come up as much. So I think in a carte blanche inflationary rate, it might seem the fairest, but maybe they perhaps need to look at each specific injury and function and pain, you know, look at each one. Now, that might take another couple of years, Tommy, because it's going to take a while to see exactly what's happening. But thankfully, judges are being sensible, Tommy, and they are looking at the guidelines and they are checking whether they're fair or not, because there was a real culture there to stop people looking for compensation and people being very much undercompensated. So, as I said, that's what we're paying insurance for. And I know it might be the most popular thing to say, but I think we really need to look at where the money, our insurance money, is going, because it's not actually being given to the people who deserve it. The injured person with a broken back for the rest of their life, or someone actually who's lost a limb, or someone who's blind, you know, like literally to lose an ear, Tommy, is 65,000. Just think about that, you know, it's for the rest of your life, you know. So that's kind of like that's the level of awards we're looking at here. And it's, you know, if people can look at the guidelines themselves, it's very easy to listen to the propaganda and say, oh, people are doing really well out of claims. It's just to redress the wrongs that have happened to them.
Okay. All right. Well, it makes for interesting listening, that is for sure, David. They're meeting in January. Do this Judicial Council have the power, without legislation, to increase the various amounts for...
No, there'll have to be legislation, but I shouldn't take too long. But there was a case, a lady took a case against the award, saying they were too low, and that resulted in it having to be, you know, if there is increases, it'll have to go to the government. So that's my only concern, Tommy. As you know, how many years did it take to get the legislation for the brain damaged children through? It took nearly 14 years. So I'd be hopeful, though, on something like this, where it's across the board, it should take only a couple of months to implement. So at least it may actually make a bit more fairness, because 40% drop is a fair bit in 3 years, you know, and even if it was a bit high on certain instances in the first place.
All right, David, there we leave it. Thank you, as always, for joining us on the programme today, and be careful if you're out and about. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Tommy. Thank you.
Bye bye. That's David O'Malley, partner of Callan Tansey Solicitors, just on that whole issue of personal injury awards.